3, 2, 1. It's that time of the day. Welcome to the 4th Street Sports Show, an award-winning student podcast covering all things Golden Eagles.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I am Dima Mixon, joined by the crew this afternoon. We are once again missing Austin. He had once again some things to deal with, so he's not going to be here today. But I am joined by Nathan Lee, Jackson Howell, and Charlie Luttrell. Gentlemen, how are we doing on this fine Thursday afternoon?
Exquisite.
Epic.
All right.
Good. Well, we have football to cover this weekend. We are not sitting at home on our butts watching other teams play. We're actually going to be able to watch Southern Miss play a game. They will head on the road for the second week in a row and play against the Troy Trojans, 6 p.m. Saturday night. I believe it's on ESPN Plus. Don't quote me on that, but I'm pretty sure it's on ESPN Plus. This is our weekly preview pod, along with guest beat writer pod, along with Prince Pick'em pod. So thanks so much for listening. We are liking the numbers. The numbers are going up. And actually, gentlemen, had someone stop me today on campus and they said, "Hey, are you Dima? Are you on the 4th Street Sports Show?" And I was like, "Yeah." So we love to be introduced to people who listen to us and like to see us. But today we're going to get into, some Troy stuff. Obviously, you want to hear about the team. Guys, you know, Southern Miss 2-2 at the start of this, at this point of the season, heading into the first ever Sun Belt game for Southern Miss football. Just what do you think? I mean, I think all of us, if I'm remembering correctly, had Southern Miss coming into this game 2-2. Regardless of how the first four games went, I'm pretty sure all of us had them coming into this game 2-2. Just start out and just talk about, you know, coming off the bye week, you know, the team gets to get healthy. It's basically playing the same opponent. I want to start off with this question proposed to all three of you. If Troy and Tulane played on a neutral site, who would win?
Against each other?
Yeah.
That's a real tough one.
Dude, would you think the line would be like -1 for Tulane or -1 for Troy either way?
I think Troy would have the betting odds, but Tulane would have the better quarterback and Troy would have the better defense. That would be a tough game to pick.
So the argument here is that they're practically the same team, right? So Southern Miss basically going to play practically the same team two games in a row. So we're hearing a lot this, at least I've been hearing a lot this week, that, you know, Southern Miss might go down over there to Troy and kind of not have a shot. But, gentlemen, I think that this is pretty much the same team that they played last weekend. What do y'all think?
That's a very strong – you can make a strong case for that. It's a different team, but a very similar team when it comes to abilities.
One difference, though, is one team has a running game and the other has not established a running game. And we saw how Tulane was able to establish that running game. They were creating problems for Southern Miss's defense. So that's one thing I think if Southern Miss can, you know, could go to their advantage if they are able to withhold the run game.
And you could actually make the argument that Tulane has faced tougher competition than Troy has. Obviously, they've looked good through their 5 games defensively, but Tulane's done it against, you know, Kansas State. I think Houston's pretty good. They beat them with a backup and then a third-string quarterback. So you're right, Dima. They're really comfortable. It's just, how does Southern Miss match up against them? And that we'll have to wait and see on that.
Yeah, and we can go through that right now. So for the offensive side of the ball, let's talk about Southern Miss's offense just for a second. Depth chart came out yesterday. So Zach Wilkie, obviously, the starting at quarterback. It's kind of weird. We're actually at practice this week and didn't have a QB controversy. I wanted to ask y'all, Trey Lowe, not on the depth chart. Jake Lang is second string. I sent out a tweet just about 3 hours ago asking for anybody to comment what they wanted us to hear about in this podcast. This guy said for us to talk about the progression of Jake to QB2 and the role Trey Lowe has going forward with the offense. Charlie, I know that you can speak on this just a little bit. Why don't you start us off on this one?
I guess that's a controversy, Dima. That's still a controversy. It's like something is, you know, changing every week with the quarterback room or something's happening. That's really unexpected for me. You know, I've said before, it's odd it can't be based off of gameplay, and I'm not going to speculate of what it is off of. But, I mean, the only play Trey Lowe attempted this year was kind of a situational, you know, trying to get the ball downfield at the end of the half in that first game. It was an interception. But, I mean, Hall said it himself. He was like, that was the receiver's fault. And, you know, now Trey Lowe's not on the depth chart. It's just a really odd situation. But, you know, that's – anyway, we don't know. We don't know, really. And – but, you know, credit to Jake Lang. I mean, he's – I don't think he really gets the credit he deserved for what he did with the offense last year. Like, he was just kind of thrown in, you know, talking about a scout team guy. But it's something Andrew and I were talking about on the pod yesterday. It's somebody that the team respects. Like, you know, they're not like, here comes Jake Lang. They're like, you know, Jake Lang is their guy. So, you know, I don't see a problem with that. It's just it's concerning and, you know, definitely something odd that, you know, Trey Lowe loses that spot.
Yeah, I was there with you, Dima, at practice yesterday, and Will Hall talked about it a little bit after practice. And I could be reading a little bit in too much into this, but I wrote down this quote and I'll read it to you. Jake's had some good practices the last few weeks and he understands the offense. Now, could that just be Will Hall hyping up Jake Lang, or could that be saying that Trey Lowe maybe isn't picking up as he should? I'm not going to speculate. I'm not in the speculation business, but there has to be something else there, right? Because Charlie mentioned that in game, Trey Lowe only has one play this year. And then after the game, Will Hall said it was actually a good decision to throw the ball downfield where it eventually got picked off. So it's really interesting. You know, Jake Lang, obviously respected in the locker room, as Charlie said, still the holder. He's kind of a guy that everybody can rally around. I know Siffy has a nickname for him that I'm not going to say here, but Jake Lang's a guy, and he's kind of the consummate professional. He's a guy you want in that, you know, backup role to kind of help the starter. So it'll be interesting to see how that goes.
Yeah, honestly, this one's a weird one. I don't want to act like I know anything on the inside news. Y'all been at the practices and stuff, but like Jackson said, there's got to be something. There's not. This just doesn't happen just randomly. So it's interesting what happened with Trey Lowe, but you know, like everything y'all said, I think Jake's a good backup, and like y'all said, he knows the system, so it gives you an advantage. But it's weird that Southern Miss had four quarterbacks that you could somewhat trust, and now we only have two. So that's a problem if one of these guys goes down in a game this season.
Yeah, and you know, I don't want to spend too much time talking about the backups, but I do think it's interesting. And I'm, you know, we'll all be there at Troy this weekend. I think it's really interesting because he's not even listed on the depth chart. So, like, are we certain he's going to travel? I think that's going to be one of the first things I'm looking for. Is Trey Lowe here? Is, you know, at the field? If he is, then maybe it's just, you know, Jake Lang beat him out because, you know, Will Hall said last week that they were both taking second string reps. But Charlie brings up a great point that, like, you know, Trey, you know, he's only thrown one ball this season, and Will Hall said it was a good ball, and like they're really, it doesn't really make a lot of sense because he was the clear number two going into fall and coming out of fall camp. I want to talk a little bit about the run game, gentlemen. So the run game has really been struggling over the past couple of weeks, and I know that coming out of Northwestern State, you know, it was a little bit better, but that was Northwestern State. But do you think that maybe this week, I think the passing game can challenge Troy's corners a little bit more than they were able to challenge Tulane's quarters. Do you think that, and we actually got this question on Twitter, do you think that Zach and the passing offense, can they prove themselves to be threatening enough to open up the run game a little bit this week?
I think one difference maker would be is I think just variety would be better. But on the pass game, I was kind of talking about this. You know, I've heard some discussions about this, and I don't know if Southern Miss's offense is ready for this or Will Hall's ready for this, but opening up kind of the run game through type, you know, short pass situations like screen passes, if you could get that going, that kind of lends itself to the run game.
Yeah.
While you're getting, you know, it just kind of opens up what you're able to do because Frank Gore can make those runs, but kind of see what Southern Miss has done with running this season, and it's been pretty, I'm not going to say one-dimensional, but not, you know, it hasn't varied even to the carries. We haven't seen much carries outside of Frank Gore. So I think anything they can do that kind of buries it will help them open up all aspects of the offense.
Right, and that swing pass is one of the kind of extended plays of the run game, just like Charlie was saying. So, you know, they like to throw it out and get 5 or 6 yards or whatever. That is pretty much the run game. I mean, I think they consider that as the run game.
Yeah, obviously Will Hall is going to want to establish the run. That's kind of his MO coming from Tulane and everywhere he's been. So he wants to run the ball, and obviously last year not great for that because of the offensive line, but they're obviously much improved this year. Even though they haven't run the ball that great this year, they're going to want to do that. And he talked about Troy wanting to do the same thing offensively on their end. Thing about Troy, they're kind of a mixed bag on defense. Like, two games they've given up over 150 yards, 150-something against App State, and then 266 against Ole Miss. Then against Marshall, they had a 100-yard rusher, but collectively they held them under 100 yards. And Western Kentucky doesn't really run the ball that much, so it's kind of that's kind of an incomplete grade on that. So it's going to be interesting. They want to take the pressure off of Zach Wilkie, right? Because this week you don't have Ty Keyes right there who could jump in there if need be. Zach Wilkie's the guy. Jake Lang, you probably don't want to throw him in the game unless you have to, right? So they want to take the pressure off of Zach Wilkie, start to establish the run, get those backs going. And if they can do that, Southern Miss should have a successful evening.
Yeah, and to the point, they have to run the ball. They have got to run the ball. There's no ifs, ands, or buts. But a thing that I really like that Charlie said was, we need to see some committee, some variety. This doesn't need to just be one guy. Doesn't need to just be Frank. I know Frank's the most talented in the backfield, but they've got a pretty good running back room. They're going to have to use those players in different situations, I think. They got to mix up the tempo. But like you said, Dima, you got to throw the ball to relieve that pressure. And Wilkie's getting more comfortable as the season goes on, but, you know, and I don't want to use this as a stat to compare, but because Western Kentucky's offense is so prolific, but 406 passing yards by Western Kentucky last week. I know Southern Miss doesn't do that. They don't pass the ball 56 times in a game like they did, but they had a very effective passing game against this Troy team. So I know that Southern Miss has some really, really good receivers, really, really good skill players. So they're going to have to lean on those guys, and I think it's definitely a thing they're going to have to do to pull this one off.
Yeah, I think that would be my answer to this question as well. That, like, yes, I think, and this is probably the game that they can definitely open it up to the passing game. You know, you may see coming out Zach Wilkie throwing the ball to start out just to kind of get the receivers loose, and then once the corners start playing a little bit back to, you know, safeguard that, then they can get that run game going. So I think this week is one of the weeks, is something you'll see later from me, spoiler warning, just about a prediction later, but of how they can get that passing game going. I want to talk about the other side of the ball. Troy's defense, obviously it's the staple. It's what, you know, Troy coming in to this game is going to flash as their, you know, alma mater or whatever. Their defense held down a very good Western Kentucky offense to 27 points on Western Kentucky's home field. They held down Ole Miss, which I think people kind of look over. I mean, I know Ole Miss was starting a new quarterback that day, but I mean, it's still Lane Kiffin. Lane Kiffin knows how to draw stuff up. He's a great offensive player, not player, coordinator. I mean, but Ole Miss only scored 28 points on them, you know, and 28-10. They should have beaten Appalachian State. They held down Marshall. Guys, but I think an interesting part of their defense right now is the injuries that happened last week. Now, this is from Josh Boutwell. He covers Troy. He tweeted this out. So Caleb Branshaw is doubtful for the game on Saturday. Will Chillo is probable. KJ Robertson, probable. Jaden McDonald and Lewis Mendina are both questionable. So Caleb Branshaw is doubtful. And they have two of the linebackers and one corner who's probable. One linebacker and one corner is probable. And then McDonald and Medina are questionable. And we're going to have John Johnson on of the Dothan Eagle on in just a couple of minutes. And he talks about how it's almost like they can just reload. Even if one of these guys are out, it's not going to be that big of an issue on the defense side of the ball. So, Charlie, could you just talk about Troy's defense, starting with Charlie, and then everybody can enter in, and just what challenges that Southern Miss's offense has ahead of them?
Yeah, I mean, he'll know Troy better than we do. But I think that still is, you know, something to watch for this game, because some of those guys are, you know, big-time talents. And they presented problems for Southern Miss last year. Now, there was all craziness going on with Southern Miss's offense at that time last year. But that game would have been, you know, it was 21-9, I think, and the only touchdown came off of a defensive touchdown, basically a shutout. So I think it's going to be, again, you're going to see Southern Miss kind of struggle. It's going to be, I don't know, maybe they can solve it. But, you know, you go back to the Tulane win. Southern Miss didn't, like, shine on offense. They did what they needed to do. And Tulane was a really good defense. So Southern Miss has shown they can kind of, you know, get through with their offense in that game. And I don't think it's going to be some outburst that we're going to see. I think everybody's kind of expecting it to be another one of those games.
Yeah, throughout their history, you know, Troy is obviously known for having great defense. You know, it's hard to penetrate their walls. And could this be the injuries? Could this be the Southern Miss proverbial Trojan horse? That remains to be seen. But like Dima said, they can rotate in and out. And I'm not going to pretend like I'm an expert on Troy. I don't, you know, I haven't studied them like other people have. But, it, you know, it's going to be difficult for Southern Miss to take advantage of. And they're going to have to play like they did against Tulane, a complimentary football game on all three sides of the ball. It's not just going to be their offense, not just going to be their defense. It's not just going to be their special teams. It has to be all of them coming together. It's going to have to be a gritty win against a really good Troy team.
Yeah, I think Jackson made the point of all points in this one. It has to be an all-around game for Southern Miss. You can't rely on the defense to win this one. You can't rely on the offense to win this one. You can't rely only on the special teams. It has to be everyone. It has to be the coaching staff. It has to be special teams, defense, offense. They all have to be ready for this one. And you know, and we know they will. You know, Will Hall has this team ready for every game so far this season, it feels like. But like y'all said, I'm not going to act like I know the depth of Troy, but I was aware of the injury situation they have. You know, Southern Miss also has some injury situations that we're aware of, but you know, it's their identity. You know, that's what Troy's known for. Going into last week, that was the big question: could they slow down that Western Kentucky passing game, that prolific offense? And while 406 passing yards, that's pretty good, but you held them to 27 points. You know, it's all about the points. You know, you can put up 600 total yards, and it doesn't matter. Whoever has more points at the end of the day, they're going to win the game. So it's their identity, but Southern Miss is going to have to find a way to just, you know, get around that and just rely on the a team win in this one.
Yeah, for sure. Flipping to the other side of the ball, I want to talk about Troy's offense against Southern Miss's defense. Southern Miss right now, obviously, terrific defensive play over the past 4 weeks. They are 8th nationally in most sacks. They're 7th in most tackles for loss, Southern Miss's defense. So obviously all of us predicted, except for Jackson, that them to be back this year as of the Nasty Bunch. And I think they have very much shown that they are able to. Gentlemen, Troy's quarterback last week, Gunnar Watson, kind of got banged up in the third quarter against Western Kentucky. But Jared, I mispronounce his name every time, but I think it's Dogie, if I remember correctly. But he came off the bench and threw a pair of fourth quarter touchdowns to beat Western Kentucky. So he came off and showed exactly that Troy's offense didn't miss him. So how do you think Southern Miss's defense matches up with Troy's offense?
Do we know for sure if Gunner is going to be, is Gunner still questionable?
Yeah, they said he's questionable, but they expect, I'm pretty sure that I think they expect him to play.
Well, one thing you got from, you know, interviewing Coach Hall, I think you asked that question, was about their style of play. Or he responded that their style of play is similar. But, you know, I look, their backup, you know, he's got, I think, the most active passing yards in FBS. So, I mean, he's experienced. I think Southern Miss is going to, you know, have to account for either, you know, not take the gas off the pedal. But a strength for Southern Miss this season has been their secondary. Last year, we were kind of, you know, talking about their run defense more. But, I mean, they faced some great rushers so far. So I kind of look for them to maybe, you know, step up in that aspect, but also shine in the secondary. I think, you know, considering if their backup is playing, they could maybe force some, you know, early mistakes. You know, he hasn't had those reps that the other guys have. I think he came in like towards the end of the off season too. So not saying he can't, you know, handle a situation, but that is something to, you know, take in consideration.
Yeah, I mean, despite whoever plays quarterback, I think Troy is still going to have the same problem. I just looked it up as of a day ago. Gunner is still questionable, but they said that he feels confident that they're going to play. I think Southern, or Troy rather, has the same problem that Southern Miss has going against each other. I think the defense is greater than the offense, right? And I think Southern Miss matches up really well against Troy. Troy has struggled to run the ball so far, and their passing game really hasn't been prolific. Troy's wins this season have been gritty, you know, kind of like Southern Miss. They've been opportunistic and taking advantage of the situation while not really lighting up the scoreboard. So, you know, it's kind of a stalemate in that sense. So it's going to be interesting to see, like, who comes off of that. And it should be a fun ball game. Low scoring, though, as you'll see later.
Yeah, it's – the thing I noticed when I was looking at these Troy stats before I made my predictions was that this receiving core for Troy is by committee. They really don't have a guy. I mean, they've got some good players and really good stars in their on their receiving, but they got – like all their guys are neck and neck with receiving yards and receptions and touchdowns, honestly. So it's all by committee. So Southern Miss is going to have hands on deck in the secondary. I think that's where this game is going to be really won. That and the linebackers are going to have to really stop the run and the front seven overall. But I think this game is going to be won in the secondary. It's going to be a tough game for Southern Miss. I mean, Southern Miss has been known for the past couple of years for their secondary. Their secondary has been pretty dang good. But they're going to be tested, even though, like Jackson said, it's not the most prolific passing game. But it's all this receiving core is by committee, and their quarterback is experienced, like Charlie said. So it's not going to be an easy game. Experience does feel like it's going to be on Troy's side in this one. But you know, Southern Miss has relied on this defense all year. Why not do it again?
Yeah, and I think that like Southern Miss is expecting, you know, to come into this game and rely on their defense. I think that that's been the staple of the team thus far, is that their defense has put them in positions to win the game. You know, that they wouldn't even be in contention to win the Liberty game with five turnovers in the first half or whatever it was, without their defense being able to slow down Liberty's offense. Because, I mean, I remember we were standing on the field and Jackson was saying, I mean, they had five turnovers. Why were they even like, and they still should have won. Like, that's what was so crazy. And so I think that throughout every game, they've been relying on their defense. And I don't think tonight's going to, or Saturday night's going to change that at all. It's just a question of, you know, can Southern Miss do something on defense? I think field position in this game is going to probably be the biggest single factor. All of y'all are shaking your heads. Let's talk about field position.
I have that highlighted as kind of my key difference maker because you
Mason
saw the
Mason Hunt, player of the game.
Yeah, he's going to have to be. Yeah.
I mean, prediction. I can't remember his stat line from Tulane, but one of his punts should have been down in the five, and it was just kind of a miscommunication on a guy, you know, getting it. It went rolled into the end zone. So out of that, I think every one of his punts would have been inside the 20. And, you know, taking that into consideration against what should be a defensive game, if you have that adds up. That's cumulative because, you know, you could stop drives early and then get, you know, take instead of having 3 points on the board, you know, have nothing. So I think it's going to be one of those games where every possession kind of matters, and having that field position is what makes the difference, honestly.
It's going to be a lot of points, it's going to be a lot of punts, gentlemen, not a lot of points. I feel like this is a game where if you punt, that's okay as long as you don't go three and out, right? You got to establish the field position battle, pin them deep, because if they have to go to a long field, you know, either offense not going to have too much success, you would think, based on how they've been this season. So, yes, Mason Hunt he's got a lot on his shoulders right now. He's going to have to bring his A game because I think – and this is not a shot at Southern Miss's offense, just kind of predicting how the game's going to go. I think Mason Hunt's going to be pretty busy, and it's going to be important for the offense to move the ball enough to put their defense in good spots on the chance that Mason Hunt can pin them inside the 20. That's how they beat Tulane, right? That's one of them because they were able to pin them. That was one of the keys for special teams, that and all the block kicks. But people forget Mason Hunt was a dark horse MVP for that game.
You stole the words right out of my mouth on that one, Jackson. People forget about that Tulane game. They couldn't do anything offensively for the first, I think it was first four drives. They punted, or first three or something like that. And then they punted it down to the inside the five. They hold them, and then they punt it back, and they're on the other side of the 50-yard line. They go and get the touchdown. Wilkie passes the touchdown to Brownlee. So that was a perfect case, an example of how important it can be. And Southern Miss is going to have their work cut out. They got to really find a way if Mason Hunt does what we expect him to do, they got to find a way to make those stops inside of that territory, deep in their territory and stuff. So they got to really find a way to shut down that offense if they have those opportunities, because it can be the story of the game.
Yes, I think all that's to be said is correct. One more question, and then we'll turn it over to John Johnson, because he knows way more about Troy than any of us. But this is going to be the first game without Swayze Bozeman, and I think it matters. I think it matters that one of the captains of the defense is not going to be out there. How much do y'all think that will? And I understand that the linebacker room isn't affected as far as talent with him out. He's a very talented linebacker, and they're definitely going to miss them. But, like Will Hall said yesterday at practice, they got several other guys standing there who's ready to take his spot. But to me, it matters that the captain of the defense is out. Nathan, you're shaking your head. Why don't you start us off?
Sorry, I actually wasn't shaking my head, but I'll start. It is a situation, like we talked about, the injury situation that Troy has. I mean, when you lose a captain, no matter what sport you're in, it's a tough situation. I mean, everyone knows his impact on the field and off the field and in the locker room. He's bigger than just a player on the field. It's going to impact the game, but just like you said, Southern Miss has got depth in that one position, and that front seven has proved this year that they can win games, and they can control the offensive line sometimes. So they're going to have their work cut out for them, especially the guy that's coming. I'm not too sure who's taking over the role for Swayze Bozeman, and y'all probably might know that one, but whoever does, and whoever is, whoever's the linebacking core is, they've got to, step up, because he is an impact player. He's one of those guys that can impact a game greatly. There's only a couple defensive impact players that Southern Miss has, in my opinion, and he was one of them. So it will definitely impact the game, but I think that by committee, they can, that linebacking core and that front seven can still play very effectively.
Yeah, I've got the depth chart pulled up here. It looks like Santrell Latham, the redshirt senior, is just kind of moving up into that role. And then behind him, you've got two young bucks and Drew Horton and Arian Gregory. So the depth is diminishing. But like Nathan said, this is one of the deepest positions on the Southern Miss roster. And then obviously you've got Avery Habas and Jaleel Clemens, Dalen Gill and TQ Newsom and the other linebacking positions. It's right now they're okay. It's that next man up mentality. You hope that no more get injured, because then you're put in a really difficult position. But I mean, I think it was like the first or second drive that Swayze Bozeman got injured against Tulane.
It was the first Tulane touchdown.
Yeah. It was like right before they scored. And that defense still looked really sharp after they gave up another touchdown drive. But after that, not much else. So we've seen that this defense can still perform in the wake of Swayze Bozeman's loss, but you just got to maintain that depth. And hopefully this bye week helped with regaining health, so to speak.
Yeah. The two who have been really visible to me, I've been taking pictures, so I'm always kind of focusing on the linebackers to start, but TQ has been specifically like really visible. He's not showing up in the stat box as so much, but he's been really making a difference. And then Hobbs in the last game coming in really made a difference too. So I think they're going to be, fine there, but definitely not a situation, where they want any more injuries there. I mean, think Josh Carr, and then Swayze and Hayes. So if they had all of them, man, that's just kind of, you're gonna be like, that stings. It really does.
For sure. And can you imagine what this linebacker room would be like if they had all three of them?
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. I kind of want to – I love watching this defense. I really do. So I'm like, darn, that really stings.
Yeah. Okay, that is all we're going to say about Troy Southern Miss. You're fixing to hear from John Johnson. He was welcoming to come on. He is the sports editor of the Dothan Eagle, and he's been covering Troy, Alabama, and Auburn since 1988. So a lot of experience covering these teams. So enjoy this interview with John Johnson.
This is the 4th Street Sports Show on Southern Miss Radio.
Welcome back to 4th Street Sports Show. I'm Diva Mixon, and I'm joined by John Johnson, sports editor of the Dothan Eagle. He's actually been with the Dothan Eagle covering Troy since 1988. But you've covered Troy, Auburn, and Alabama. So you've been kind of around Alabama. So why don't you just tell your listeners just about yourself and just how familiar you are with this Troy program. You've been covering them for multiple years, longer than I've been alive.
Well, I grew up in Alabama. I've been in Dothan since 1985, became sports editor in 1988. We have about 30 high schools in the area, so we do a lot of high school work. But colleges are very big, of course, in Alabama, like it is in Mississippi. And part of our coverage is Alabama, Auburn, and Troy. And Troy's just an hour up the road from us, so it's a very important part of our coverage. When they went Division One, we really jumped on them as far as really covering them big time. So we're there for every home game. We don't get to all the road games, but like I said, Troy's a big part of what we do.
Yeah, and this weekend is a home game for Troy, and they're going to welcome in Southern Miss this weekend. Last season, Southern Miss dropped that Troy matchup at home. You can argue that, you know, Southern Miss dealing with a lot of crazy things that happened last season. I think this season's two pretty much completely different teams. Would you say that or –
Yeah, absolutely. Now, Troy played one of their better games of the year last year at Southern Miss, without a doubt. But they really stumbled throughout last season, especially in the second halves of games. They seemed like they always played well in the first half. And then the second half, they would just fall apart. Of course, Chip Lindsey was fired at the end of the season. And bringing in John Summerall, the attitude has been completely different. I mean, you know, this is one of the few college football teams. Now, Southern Miss may be one as well that you can go to practices. I mean, so many practices are closed now. But having a chance to watch Troy at practice, it was a complete flip-flop from a year ago. And not to down Coach Lindsey, but it was a little looser there. And when you go to a Troy practice now, man, I mean, they're really on the ball with what they're doing. Summerall has really got them bought into being a very disciplined team. They work hard, and you could just see the switch as far as in the players' mentality. And so when they go into a second half now, they expect to win the second half. And that's where they really struggled last year. But the offseason work in the weight room and just on the field, you can see a different Troy football team now as far as a competence level, as far as depth, and as far as just being stronger in the second half. And that's where they've been winning ball games this year.
Yeah, and talking about that winning ball games, they just came on off that win at Western Kentucky for Troy. I think a lot of Southern Miss fans are kind of curious. You know, starting quarterback Gunnar Watson went down late in the third quarter. The game was tied, and then Jarrett, I think I'm pronouncing Doggy right, came in at the end there to win the game. He threw two touchdown passes in the fourth quarter. I know that John Johnson said on the media call this morning that they're expecting. He expects Gunner to play, but if Gunner can't go, just talk about both quarterbacks, but specifically Jarrett.
Yeah, and it's a weird pronunciation on his last name. It's Daigie, actually.
Oh, Daigie. Okay.
Yeah, Jarrett Daigie. But man, he came in only 3 days before their final scrimmage of the preseason. He was at Western Kentucky, and he had transferred from West Virginia to Western Kentucky back in January and actually got beat out for the starting quarterback job at Western Kentucky. When he realized he wasn't going to be the starter, you know, he put himself back in the transfer portal, and Troy reached out to him. It was kind of weird. Like I said, their last scrimmage was set up for a Saturday, and you know, this guy comes in and signs on Wednesday. He was at practice on Thursday, and then he played a little in the last scrimmage on that Saturday. But this is a guy who's been around. I mean, he's thrown for more touchdowns, I believe it is, and yardage of any active college quarterback in the country right now. And he came into a system, though, that is very difficult to learn. It's not one you're just going to pick up quickly. And Gunner's a very smart guy. He earned the starting job and has played very well. And Jarrett had only played a couple of snaps. That was in the first game of the year at Ole Miss, you know, when it was already out of hand, just to give him a little game time. Gunner had been playing ever since. I don't think he had come out of a game. But when he was hit in the third quarter of Saturday and just, I think, basically got his bell rung, Jarrett came in, and man, he played really well. And what they talked about today on the Zoom conference is how well he prepares himself. Mm-hmm. And he himself talked about how, yeah, it was tough not being a starting quarterback. He's basically been one pretty much parts of every 5 years, 5 years he's been in college football. This is the first time he's really been a backup type quarterback, but he's a junkie, man. He stays in the film room. He stays after practice to throw to receivers. So when he did enter the game, he did feel like he was prepared. It didn't hurt that Western Kentucky was somewhere he had been since January, basically, and he knew those guys. He knew the personnel. So when he was in there, he kind of knew the defensive tendencies, and I don't think that hurt at all. But, you know, whether it's Daigie or Watson on Saturday, I think Coach Summerall feels very confident on either one of those guys, and they're very similar. They got very strong arms. Neither one of them are very mobile. So you really don't, though, have to change the offense with these guys. I mean, it's going to be the same kind of offense they've been running. Either one, I think, are pretty much interchangeable, and they're both very good quarterbacks.
Yeah, and just talk a little bit about, obviously, Troy Southern Miss, you know, it feels like it's not – this isn't a new matchup for either school. Just talk about the fans and how they view Southern Miss coming into this game. Southern Miss is coming off of arguably one of the biggest wins for Will Hall after beating Tulane, and now they got to go do it again on the road at a pretty hostile environment out there in Troy. So just talk about what the fans maybe think of Southern Miss and even maybe the team.
I think these are two very, very similar programs from over the years. I mean, they've had very strong, solid programs for many, many, many years. And I think this is going to be a great rivalry in the Sun Belt for the years to come. You know, right now, Troy and South Alabama, that's Troy's biggest rivalry is South Alabama because it's in-state. And I don't think that'll really change. I think the second biggest rivalry is going to be Southern Miss as the years go along. And I think because they are so very similar, I think the fan bases are very similar. Troy's a small town, but it's got a very dedicated fan base. And especially when they're playing well, they're going to show up. You know, I expect to see a lot of Southern Miss fans over here Saturday, and I think that's great. I remember I covered the game at Southern Miss however many years ago, maybe 2016, when it was raining like crazy. I don't know if you remember that game or if you were there, but, man, it was a storm before the game, and I think it was an hour delay. But that was the first time I'd been in Hattiesburg to cover a game, and I was really impressed with the fan base there and the setup there. And it's just so very similar. And I think I was excited about that addition into the Sun Belt, along with Marshall. To me, those were the two that really excited me that were the newcomers into the Sun Belt, and I think would be great fits.
Yeah, I was definitely there. I remember that game. I just remember when I remember Troy coming in with those like metallic helmets, and that's what I remember, like seeing the rain hit those. I just thought it was so cool. When I just remember,
yeah, I couldn't hardly see out of the press box because it was so fogged up that day.
Yeah. Oh.
In fact, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, when we got there, we got out of the car and we decided to make a run for it, and that was a mistake because I was completely soaked before I got to the press box. But yeah, I'll never forget that one. But that was a good game too, if you remember. Troy scored at the very end. Game.
Yeah, that was a great game. It was high scoring too. Talking a little bit about the offense, I know we've talked about the quarterbacks, but who's some other players that Southern Miss fans are definitely going to see on Saturday getting involved in that Troy offense?
Yeah, Tez Johnson's a really versatile wide receiver. In fact, he threw a touchdown pass last week. They used him on a fake play, but he's a good receiver that is really quick. There's a guy named Jabri Barber who keep an eye on him. He's a little guy receiver, but they like to spot him up a lot of little quick passes, and he's got a lot of speed. He scored a touchdown against Western Kentucky as well. He's a target they really like to use a lot. Rajay Johnson is a guy that transferred from UAB this year, wide receiver. He's a big body. So they've got the big and smaller, quicker wide receivers. They can go either way with those. They got some big tight ends that they like to use at times. The real mystery with this team so far this year, although it seems to be progressing a little bit on offense, is the running game. Because coming into the season, there were about five or six running backs that they really felt really, really good about. But they haven't produced until this last week. You started to see them getting a little better. Kamani Vidal is the starter at tailback, but he has not had the season so far this year that they thought he would have. DK Billingsley is a guy who's kind of come on, even though he's a senior and has been around a lot. He's kind of was like the third option going into the season. But he went for over 100 yards last week, and he's playing the best ball that he's played. I think what's been the situation, and we keep asking every week, what's the deal with the running game? Because the line is pretty experienced. What we're coming to find out is this offensive scheme is a lot different than what they were running last year, in that it's a lot more multiple. Last year with Lindsay, it was a lot more of the fast-paced tempo type stuff, and the blocking was just different. Now they're asking to be more of a power blocking team, and it's taken them a while to really learn this scheme. But I think you're seeing it develop now, and I think the running game is something that, if they can balance that with the passing game, they're going to be really tough to stop offensively.
Yeah, that's crazy. It's just like so similar, because Southern Miss as well, you know, we felt with Frank Gore Jr., you know, and then pretty very deep offensive line for Southern Miss, you know, they would be able to run the ball, but they've been struggling in the run game. Talking a little bit about Southern Miss's offense. So they almost got doubled up 2 weeks ago at Tulane. They had 253 yards and Tulane had 451, yet Southern Miss still won. So that's a like Southern Miss's defense just being really strong each game. Just talk about how do you think, I know you mentioned some players, but how do you think Troy's offense matches up against Southern Miss's defense? Where do you think Troy can exploit some of Southern Miss's defense?
I just think maybe in the passing game, and that's because either Gunner or Jarrett, who is ever at quarterback, they've got such a strong arm and a good feel for the offense now. And Dagey coming in late, I think now he probably knows our offense pretty well. He really wasn't in the mix when he got there because it is tough to learn. But I think that's where, if they're going to have success against Southern Miss, I think it's going to be more passing the ball. Although, obviously, you got to run the ball some to have any kind of success. But I think with the quick passes, maybe to, you know, to get people in some space, but they can go deep. Both of those guys got arms to go with the deep ball as well. And so I think to beat Southern Miss and to get ahead of that defense, you're going to have some explosive plays.
Yeah, just flipping to the other side of the ball, Southern Miss's offense kind of sputtering a little bit throughout the beginning of weeks, but they have shown progress, a lot of progress, obviously, since last year. Can you talk a little bit about Troy's defense and very experienced defense, and just talk a little bit about them and some players Southern Miss fans are going to be hearing a lot on the broadcast?
Well, the defense is really good, and it's been the strength of the whole preseason. I mean, without a doubt, and maybe some of that was they were still trying to learn this offense, but the defense is really got a lot of depth. And, you know, you ask about names, you're going to be hearing a lot, and you'll know this name, but Carlton Marshall, the linebacker, he's a small guy, but he's incredible. He had 18 or 19 tackles 2 weeks ago. He became the all-time Sun Belt leader in tackles with that game against Marshall 2 weeks ago. And then last week he had 12 tackles, and that's just a normal game for Carlton. And he's just got a nose for the football. I mean, he's just all over the field. You look at him, and I mean, like I said, he's a small guy. But he's one of those guys that just he's quick. He can get to the ball. It's just his football instincts are so good. But they got plenty of other, you know, their line is strong. Their defensive ends are really good coming off the edge. Their secondaries, you know, I guess if there's a weak point, and I don't really think it's weak, it might be the secondary, because sometimes they get beat some. But as a whole, this defense is really, really strong. And, you know, they've had a couple of injuries, and they've just got guys that step right in and they don't really miss a beat, it seems like. Lewis Medina is a nose guard who's going to be out. But Buda Jones is right behind him, and he's played well since he's coming in his spot. Jade McDonald is a guy who's out as a linebacker. But K.J. Robertson's a veteran right there. And with him and Marshall, those are two guys that have been around and been together for a long time. So their linebackers are really good. Their up front is strong, and the secondary is solid. So there's not a lot of weak links in this defense. There really isn't. I mean, you know, any offense can exploit you. Marshall had some big plays against them, but they had held a Marshall team that I think was averaging 500 yards of offense to like 170 or something 2 weeks ago. And so, you know, Western Kentucky came into the game last week. I think they had just scored 72 points against Florida International, and they held that offense down. So, to me, that's still the strength of this team. So if Southern Miss is going to have success, they're going to have to find a way to do some things against a really strong defense.
Yeah, that's a great point. So the line is around 8 points. The last time I looked at it, so it's Troy's about an 8-point favorite. Southern Miss, pretty used to being underdogs going into these games. Will Hall says it's going to change soon. But what do you think Southern Miss has to do to pull off an upset on Saturday?
Well, and I would say maybe catch a Troy team flat, but I don't think you will catch this team flat. I would have said in years past that that kind of thing would happen. This coaching staff is really, you know, they don't – wins or losses, man, they go right on to the next game, and it doesn't seem like they have any up – you know, they don't get too up or too down no matter what happens. Because after that Appalachian State game, you think, okay, maybe, you know, that one will deflate them a little bit, but not at all. In fact, if anything, I think that showed them, hey, we can play with anybody. Let's get back to work. So I don't think you're going to catch them flat at all coming off a couple of big wins against Western Kentucky and Marshall. I think just execution and maybe getting some turnovers. You know, Troy has had some turnovers. They've had interceptions. They've had fumbles. So they've kicked themselves some against. I'll go back to 2 weeks ago against Marshall, a big fumble driving down, having a chance to score. They fumbled the ball. Quarterback was hit and fumbled. They had an interception deep in Marshall territory that hurt them. So that was a game that actually was not as close as the score indicated, just because they kind of shot themselves in the foot a couple of times. Well, if Southern Miss can take advantage of some turnovers, you know, I think that would be big for them.
Yeah, they definitely did against Tulane, and that propelled them to victory. Now just talking a little bit, I'll be there, and most of my B will be there, and then a lot of Southern Miss fans I know are traveling down over there to Troy. So could you just give us some restaurants, maybe some game day stuff we got to be aware of for Saturday night?
Yeah, and one thing I would suggest is getting to Troy early as far as around the stadium. They have a really cool tailgating area. I think it's called Tailgate Terrace or something, but it's right at the entrance of the stadium. A lot of tailgating. They'll have a band out there playing. A lot of interactive things. If you're bringing kids, they let them go onto the baseball field, and they have stuff set up to play games and all that kind of stuff. So it's a cool environment, and the weather should be great. So I would say get to the game early. I would also say there's not going to be any problems with parking and that kind of thing. It's an easy parking situation. It's easy to get into Troy's campus and everything. So get there early and enjoy that part of it. There's a place called the Half Shelf if you like seafood and that kind of thing. There's a barbecue place. I'm trying to think of what it's called. Can't think of it, but Google barbecue in Troy, and it's a pretty good stop. But it's a lot of your fast food chains, you know, that kind of thing are there. So it's a small town, but there's a lot packed into it. So I think the fans will enjoy the trip. Like I said, get there early and kind of soak it all in. There's some things to do around the stadium and have a good time.
Yeah, it's going to be a good one, and I'm looking forward to the game. I think it's going to be really interesting to see for both teams, because I think Southern Miss looking at this game, pinpointing it, and then Troy looking at this game, pinpointing it as well, like you said. So, John, thanks so much for coming up. And once again, he's the sports editor of the Dothan Eagle. So go and look up his stuff on the website. Do you want to have anything to plug or –
Well, I also my Twitter is Eagle Sports Ed. The Ed part is for editor, if you want to try to remember what that's for. But Eagle Sports Ed, and I usually will tweet out the stories I write during the week. Our website is DothanEagle.com, so you can definitely check things there. So, yeah, if you will, I'll be writing a couple of stories, advanced stories this week. In fact, I'll have one up later today, and then midweek have a preview for Friday and that kind of thing. And I look forward to seeing you at the game as well, I hope.
Yep, I'll be there. Thanks so much, John, for joining us today on 4th Street.
Glad to do it. I appreciate you having me.
It's Mo Dogs. That's really what it is, bro.
This is 4th Street, and we got Mo Dogs on 88.5 this year.
Yo. Welcome back to 4th Street. Nathan, Jackson, Charlie in the room. Great interview there with John Johnson. Gave us a lot of insight. He knows more about Troy football than we do, gentlemen, doesn't he? I think he does, just a little bit.
Shocker.
So, great interview. And that barbecue place he talked about definitely sounds good. We may have to check that out when we're over there. Gentlemen, let's get into some picks. Let's start out with bold predictions here. So here on 4th Street, bold prediction for Southern Miss Troy Saturday night in Troy, Alabama. Charlie, why don't you start us off?
So October 8th is when Southern Miss will play Troy. Guess what happened almost a year ago from that date? Any guesses? No? Okay. Jake Lang threw for 300 yards. That's the last time and only time Southern Miss threw for over 300 yards. A quarterback threw for over 300 yards nearly a year ago from the exact date they will be playing. I've got Zach Wilkie throwing for Southern Miss's first 300-yard game since Jake Lang on October 9th. So there we go.
300 yards from Mr. Wilkie. Jackson, who we get? What we thinking? Bold prediction.
My bold prediction comes from the Mr. Defenses. On the season, Southern Miss has 13 sacks as a team from the research I did. Could be wrong. Troy has 17 sacks on the season. And you add those two numbers together, can anyone guess what that number is?
21.
30?
It is 30, Dima. Divide 30 by 2. What number is that?
15.
15. That is the combined number of sacks that will happen in this game.
What?
I think that they're just going to get after the quarterback this game. And both teams, they failed to establish the run so far, so I think they're going to drop back and throw it. And these are two ferocious defenses, so 15 sacks. It's bold predictions.
It's bold.
Not mild predictions. Okay. So that's my bold prediction.
Hey, I respect it. I respect it.
Zach was smiling, but now he's not.
Yeah. He's not going to have no 300-yard passing day. Yeah. 15.
Those were polar opposites right there. Good lord.
Now that's combined from both teams. So
okay.
Yeah.
But who's going to get more?
We shall see. Stay tuned. 6 o'clock. He is being
don't make it any bolder than he has to.
Yeah.
But, yeah, I'll go with mine here. I think for this one, mine is kind of tailored to Southern Miss a little bit more. It could honestly give away my prediction later on. But I think Southern Miss, my bold prediction in this one is that they rush for 125 yards, pass for 225 yards, and have at least a kickoff or a punt return.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep.
Very specific. Nice. So Jacarius Kasten has yet to have a 100-yard receiving day, and he had 2 receptions against Liberty. He had 4 receptions against Miami. He had 6 receptions against Northwestern State, and he had 8 receptions last week against Tulane. So 2, 4, 6, 8. So my bold prediction is that he has 10 receptions in this game. He's going to go over that 100-yard receiving, and not just 100, he's going to have 150 receiving yards and 2 touchdowns. For Mr. Kasten. I think that the offense, the passing game can challenge Troy's corners just a bit. So I think Mr. Kasten is going to have a good day there in Troy. So that's our bold predictions for Southern Miss and Troy. And now back on 4th Street, we will give you our Southern Miss versus Troy predictions. Austin is not here, so he is not able to give his pick. I have his pick right here. We have the fan vote. As Charlie pulls that up, I will tell you Austin's pick. So Austin has Southern Miss winning 31-28. The line for this game is Troy as a 6.5-point favorite. The over under is 44. So he has Southern Miss covering, and that is over the 44.
Okay. So of course, us being, you know, around Hattiesburg, I don't think Southern Miss will ever not be a favorite. So Southern Miss is around 87% favorited, and our Instagram was about the same too. But for my pick, you know, this is the toughest pick for me this whole year, and I like to stick with what I had going in the preseason. I said that they would lose this game, and for me, I think it's going to be a really good game. But looking at kind of the back-to-back road stands, the last time they won 2 straight away was 2019, and the last time they won back-to-back road stands was 2011. Now, that might not mean anything with the bye in between, but it's just too much for me to say, you know, Southern Miss is going to go out and play a really good team in Troy and win again. You know, what they did was great against Tulane, and I think they're going to compete here. But every time I pick Troy, I've been right, so I'm going to have to stick with Troy. Sorry, y'all. Troy, 27-23.
Ah. This is a tough one because this one could really go either way. It's a coin flip game, I think, low scoring. I'm kind of hedging my bets a little bit with this one. I do predict that Troy is going to win, but I think this Southern Miss covers that 6.5-point spread. I've got Troy prevailing in a tight one, 20-17.
Yeah, Southern Miss is actually 5-0 against, or 4-0 against the spread so far this year. So 6.5, kind of edging it there. So you got to pick the field goal if Southern Miss is going to cover.
Yeah, it's a tight spread. This one is interesting. Obviously, we know what this could lead to in the Sun Belt West, as we got some good close competition out there between Southern Miss, Troy, and South Alabama, and all those other teams as well. This one's like early in this in the preseason. I picked us to lose to Tulane and beat Troy. Obviously, we beat Tulane, and I was wrong about that one in the preseason pick. But I think I'm still going to hold on. I think I'm going to hold on to this Southern Miss pick. I think they get the job done. Gritty defensive game. Like I said with my bold prediction, that's what's going to lead them to winning this game. They have to do that, I think, to pull this one off. So I got a really, really, really close one. I'm taking the under as well. Southern Miss wins 21-20.
So I think that you know, Southern Miss, I really think if this was at home, I think all of us on here would probably pick Southern Miss to win. So since this is on the road, I think you got to give at least a field goal to Troy for it being on the road in a night game. So that is why I'm picking Troy to win this game, because I really think, like we said earlier in this podcast, if Tulane and Troy played on a neutral site field, I don't even know who would win. Like, it would literally be a coin flip. So they're basically playing the same opponent. The defenses are going to make this game a really low scoring game. I think Southern Miss's passing offense can open up a little bit and get some work going, as I just predicted, Jacarius Caston having a great day. But also think that Troy can get some work going against Southern Miss's defense. I do think this would still be a defensive battle, though, and you're not going to have a lot of scoring. But I have the same score as Jackson, 20-17 Troy. I think it's virtually a coin flip, so I could see it going either way. USM will cover the 44, or the 6.5, and that's under the 44. So I am going to pick Troy in this game. I would pick Southern Miss if Southern Miss was at home, but I really think that you just got to give something to Troy, because momentum is going to shift in this game in Troy's way, and I'm not confident enough in the offense yet to pick them to respond to that momentum. Against Tulane, all the momentum was in the first half, and then Southern Miss took away that momentum by scoring and scoring again and then taking the lead with that pick six or whatever. They took back the momentum with the defense. I think in this game, they're going to have to take back the momentum with the offense, because both teams have good defenses. So I'm not ready to pick them to do that yet. They haven't shown me that I'm going to be able – that I'm confident enough to pick them and do that yet. But I do definitely think they can win this game, but I'm picking Troy to win for now. So 2017, that was a long, explanation, but so all of us picking, three of us picking Troy, two of us picking Southern Miss. That is our picks here on 4th Street. So now on to 4th Street, Prince Pick'em. We have some new standings here. Last week, Charlie and I were tied at 78. We were tied last week, but now I've taken the lead at 78. Charlie, you're in second place at 75 points. Nathan and Austin are tied at 74 for third place. And then Jackson, I'm sorry, bud, you're way on down there at 64 points. So you better have a good week this week. Pretty cool, guys. I really think we got a lot of good input on the fans and the fan vote today. So I think a lot of people are liking this. So let's go ahead and get started. We have 9 games to pick this week. It's actually cool. We get to pick every Sun Belt game this week because there was only 5 because several teams were off. But so let's get started. So we'll get started with the game that I don't think anybody thought was going to be a marquee matchup to start the season, but it ended up being College Game Days there this weekend. So number 17 TCU at number 18 Kansas. Kansas is a 7-point underdog at home, and the over-under is set at 69. Charlie, why don't you start us off with a fan vote and your pick?
Yeah, so I'm just going to be going off of Twitter because I can't pull up Instagram, but this one is actually split perfectly 50-50. That's the first time that's ever happened. And, you know, I think this is going to be a good one. Obviously, this is where College Game Day is going. And I think a lot of people are excited for Kansas. But, you know, after watching TCU last week and seeing none of us expected that, I can't pick against TCU. And TCU, you know, I think is going to have the edge here. I think it will be closer because of the environment at Kansas. But I got TCU winning 31-24.
Charlie can't pick against TCU, but I sure can. You got the home field advantage in Kansas, a sellout for I don't know, it might be the second or third week in a row since they've been winning. That obviously has not happened in Kansas football history in a while, ever not since Mangino was there, and I think it was 2007 or whatever it was. They had Aqib Talib. But game day going to Kansas, kind of a situation like when they went to Boone for Appalachian State. Just they brought that energy, and they were able to eke out a victory. And I think that's going to happen here. I've got Kansas winning 35-32, and that's just under the spread or the over under.
Yep, I'm right there with you, Jackson, because I think Kansas is legit. I know what TCU did last week, but I'm starting to think that Oklahoma's just trash, y'all. So I'm thinking that Kansas is a legit team. I've watched some of their highlights. They're a fun team to watch. I think it's gonna be a high scoring game. So I got Kansas pretty close score to Jackson, edging them in a high score game, like I said, 38-35, Kansas.
Interesting. So Austin has let me pull back up. Sorry. Austin has Kansas winning 37-30. My thing is that last week, I'll run this through you. So Kansas had scored 56 points in the first game, 55 points in the next game, 48 points in the next game, and 35 points in the next game, all against terrible defenses. When they finally played a great defense, Iowa State, they should have lost. They definitely should not have won last week. That was kind of crazy how they won that game last week. But so, and I definitely trust TCU's offense to score, and I like TCU's defense. They held down a really good Oklahoma offense last week, and I think that the hype on Kansas is great, but I think that TCU hands them their first loss this week. And I have TCU winning 38-28, but that is under the 69. So let's head down to the Bayou. Number 8 Tennessee at number 25 LSU. LSU is a 2.5-point underdog, and the over-under is 64.
Yeah, so 80% of fans have Tennessee beating LSU, and I'm going to go with the smoke in the Bayou. I mean, the Vols right now have 559 yards per game on offense, and, man, I couldn't – LSU ended up winning that game last week, but I was watching it. I could not stand – that was some of the worst SEC football I've watched in a long time. I don't see them winning this. I think it will be interesting, you know, being at home. But LSU does not look like a 4-1 team, in my opinion. I got Tennessee winning 31-20.
Yeah, this is really the epitome of a trap game for Tennessee. Going to Death Valley when next week they play the Crimson Tide of Alabama. You would think they might catch Tennessee slipping, but I'm not sure LSU's good enough to get that win. Since I think Tennessee's definitely losing next week, I think that I think they're going to eke out a victory here. It's going to be a hard-fought game. I have them winning 28-24, and that's under.
Man, I think y'all are just some haters personally. I don't think y'all understand football. I think Tennessee is going to get caught this week. Great point by Jackson. Tennessee is riding a high. They think that they can actually compete in the SEC. I think I ain't about to come out here and say LSU's a great team or nothing. I know I'm an LSU fan. I've watched them this season. This is not bias. This is truly, truly me watching and thinking real hard. So LSU has won some tough games this year. That game against Auburn, they should not have won, but they somehow, some way pulled it off. And I think that's exactly what LSU does. I think that's how Brian Kelly wins. He did that with Notre Dame. He never had a good quarterback over there. I think Jaden Daniels could questionably be one of his best quarterbacks he's ever coached. And Jaden Daniels isn't even that good, in my opinion. I'm not the biggest fan of Jaden, but I like his running ability. But I think Tennessee gets caught. Tennessee has a knack for having a bad passing defense this season. I don't think LSU's passing offense is that great, but I think this is the first time LSU's passing offense actually has a decent game. And I think our run game explodes a little bit because of that. So I got LSU winning. It's the under. So I got LSU winning 27-24 on a game winning field goal. Y'all can hate.
I mean, you know, if you're right, you got all the credit.
I'm going to be right.
Austin has Tennessee winning 35-17. So yes, Tennessee winning comfortably down there in Baton Rouge. I don't know. I think LSU is a fraud. I don't even know why they're ranked, to be honest. Like, haters. Like they, I just like, I don't know, man. Like, I don't even like that week. Like, I agree with Charlie. Like that last week was probably the worst SEC football I've ever seen in my entire life. But you got to give them credit because Mississippi State's a potent offense, and they held them down to 16 points. So I think they could hold Tennessee's offense down. But I'm not going to – I mean, Tennessee's had a week to – they were off last week. Like, I mean, it would be a trap game, you know, if they were – if last week was a normal week, but they've been preparing 2 weeks to go down to LSU. Like, I mean, like, I don't know what we're doing here. Tennessee 35-21 is my pick. That's under the 64. So I think Tennessee definitely is going to win that game. and the fact that it's an 11 a.m. kickoff, like it's not a night game. I mean, it's not setting up to be a trap game, in my opinion. Let's head out west. Number 11, Utah at number 18, UCLA. UCLA is a 4.5-point underdog. The over-under is set at 65.
Fans, 65% have Utah. And, I mean, South Alabama almost beat UCLA on the road, should have. So I'm not going to pick against, you know, Utah here. I actually really like UCLA and what they have going on. But I think Utah's looked good. They've actually – this is fun. Competition might not be there, but they've outscored their opponents 184-43 since losing to Florida. It's pretty insane. So this will probably be their toughest competition since that first week. But I got them winning, Utah winning 34-28.
If there's one thing I know about the Pac-12, the Conference of Champions, as they say, is that they really like to beat each other up in the regular season. I have that happening here. Give me the Bruins. Kind of an upset here. They're obviously almost lost to South Alabama. Utah has looked really good since their loss at Florida. I think UCLA takes this one as Utah has a really tough game next week. This could be a trap game for them. I've got UCLA winning 34-31.
Yep, this is Nathan Lee's 4th straight upset pick. I've got to go bold this week, I feel like. I'm going UCLA, guys. I know that they struggled against South Alabama, but I think South Alabama is a pretty good team, and I think UCLA might have just looked over them a little bit. I love the quarterback that UCLA's got. I think he's one of the most athletic quarterbacks in the entire country. I like their offense. Chip Kelly knows how to win in college, not in the NFL, but he knows how to win in college. I think that they shot the Utah. Utah gets caught in this one as well. So I got UCLA winning in a shootout 41-36.
Austin has Utah winning 27-21. So close win there for Austin. I'm in agreement with Nathan and Jackson. I think that we were just talking about the last game, you know, a trap game for Tennessee, but they had a week off. You know who doesn't have a week off? Utah. They're going now to UCLA. UCLA, Dorian Thompson-Robinson, unbelievable quarterback. I don't think Utah's seen anything like that this season. So I think it'll be a high-scoring game. If it was in Utah, I would pick Utah, but it's not in Utah. It's in UCLA, and that's why I'm picking UCLA. 34-28, and that's under the 65. So I'm in agreement with the upset pick there. Florida State at number 14, NC State. NC State is a 3.5-point favorite. The over-under is 50.5.
65% of fans have NC State. And this will be my, I guess, upset pick. I mean, it's not, you know, too much, I think, out there. But looking at the series history, it goes back to 1952. NC State has never won more than two games in a row. And they're at two-game winning streak right now. So dating all the way back to 1952. I think these things kind of matter when you're going to, you know, games like this. Because it's usually pretty evenly matched. And I think Florida State is on the come up. So I got them kind of getting back in the series. A 27-23.
Yeah, I also have the Florida State Seminoles winning. I think NC State, how they got to rank number 10, I'm not quite sure. I think Florida State lost to a good Wake Forest team last week, and that's their only loss of the season. They're 4-1. So I think they have a gutsy performance this week, and I have them winning 27-20. That'll be under.
Yeah, this one's weird for me. I went back and forth. I thought I would go 5 straight upsets, but I think I'm going to lean on NC State here. That defense is still good. I know that Clemson was able to put up 30 against them last week, but they played a good game. They didn't play bad. And I think Florida State may have gassed out after last week. I think they really needed that Wake Forest win, and they knew how important it was. And honestly, they didn't look too great in that game. The score doesn't really equate how good Wake Forest looked. I think I watched that game, and I think North Carolina State, not the most beautiful win, but they get the job done on defense and just enough scoring, 28-23 win for NC State.
Yeah, Austin has NC State winning 42-35. I thought I was thoroughly impressed with NC State last week. Actually, I'm going to disagree with Jackson there. I think we all came on here thinking kind of, I think everybody on here picked NC State other than me. So it's a pretty big switch. I know Jackson picked Clemson to win pretty heavily, but everybody else picked NC State pretty like to beat Clemson. And now, I mean, Charlie, you're going Florida State, and I
watched them and I was like, nah.
I don't know. I mean, they held, to go into Death Valley and play. I mean, I thought they played very good. I mean, they were in the game the entire game. So, I don't know what y'all are talking about, but
it was 30-13 with a minute left. What are you talking about?
Yeah, but it was 13-10 at halftime. I mean, you know, you're talking to, I don't know. I thought it seemed pretty close for most of the game. And Clemson pulled away late, as pretty much all of us expected to. But it's a night game in Winston, wherever it is. I don't even know where NC State is. In North Carolina somewhere. It's a night game. Florida State is not going to NC State at being the midnight. So I have NC State winning 28-24. I do think it'll be close, though. But I do have NC State winning. Oh, and that's over the 50.5. Let's go back out west. Number 12, Oregon at Arizona. Arizona is a 13-point underdog, and over under is high, 70.5.
Yeah, 75% of fans picked Oregon, and I don't know why you made us pick this game, Demon. Is it that bad? No, I'm just kidding. Oregon's, you know, confusing to me still. I think they're probably overrated. So I think, you know, this could be an interesting game, but I think Oregon's going to handle their business here. I got them winning 41-27.
Yeah, I have a similar point total. And the last time we bet on an Oregon game, I said to never bet on Bo Pix, and I ate my words on that one. And unfortunately, I'm betting on Bo Pix this time. I think they take care of business. I don't think Arizona's that great. I've got the score right here. Oregon, 38, Arizona, 24, and that will be under.
Yeah, I think that over is wild, in my opinion, or the over-under is crazy in general at 70.5. So I think Oregon, like y'all said, I'm not sold at all on them, but I don't think Arizona is a good team. But I think just because it's a Pac-12 competition, you know, these teams know each other for a long time. They played a long time together. So I think it'll be interesting early on, but I think Oregon edges out, but Arizona covers 31-20, Oregon.
I'm actually going to deduct 3 points since they're wearing the eggshell jerseys, 38-27.
Oh, there you go.
So you have Arizona covering with that.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, so I agree. Arizona, not a good team. Oregon, better team. Oregon winning 40-24 in my book. That's under the crazy over-under of 70.5. Austin has Oregon winning 35-21. So that is also under the 70.5. So, gentlemen, let's head into Sun Belt games. We'll pick the other four remaining Sun Belt games. This first one, this one's tough for me. Georgia Southern at Georgia State. Georgia State's kind of a team that, you know, we were expecting to be really good this year, and they're sitting there 1-4. All of us picked them to lose to Army last week, and they beat Army. So let's talk about that. Georgia State's a -2.5-point favorite, and the over-under is 66.5.
This one was close, but the fans picked Georgia State by 53%. And, you know, I think, yeah, you said we all picked against them. But I look at this matchup, Georgia State still allowing 435 yards per game, and Georgia Southern right now is number 12 in the nation on offense with 500 yards per game. So I think just looking at it from that, you know, maybe Georgia State's figuring it out, but I can't pick against Georgia Southern for this one. I got them winning 42-27.
Yeah, I was actually kind of surprised that Georgia State was favored in this game. I know they're the home team, but they haven't had a whole lot of success this year. Obviously, you've got Georgia Southern, their quarterback, Van Treese. He's thrown a lot of interceptions, but he's thrown a lot of touchdowns as well. They obviously marquee win at Nebraska. And, you know, you got Clay Helton at head coach, greatest head coach in USC history. And I think they go into Turner Field. I don't know if it's still called that, but I think they go there and they get a win. I think Georgia Southern wins 35-34.
Yeah, looking at these stats, it can tell the whole story. These defenses are horrible, just terrible. Not good at all, not even close to being good. I think it's going to be a shootout. But I like Georgia Southern. I think they've gotten the tougher team experience. They played tougher teams, I think, this season. And I just like the team. I know, like Jackson said, their quarterback has thrown 7 picks already this season. So the turnover machine, but it's like, I just think that offense is lethal. They're averaging, I think, 500 total yards a game. So I got Georgia Southern in a shootout, 41-34.
Austin has Georgia State winning 23-10, so that'd be under the 66.5. I've been on Georgia State all season. I've thought that they were a great team. They lost 3 pretty close games. They should have beaten North Carolina. Like, they shouldn't really be 1-4 right now. And I think the win last week kind of gave them a better sense of confidence. This is an in-state rivalry. This is a big game. It's at their home place. I think it's a night game. I could be wrong on that. It might not be. I don't know. But
It's at one.
Okay. Well, regardless, it's still a big game for Georgia State. Welcome in Georgia Southern. So I do have Georgia State winning this game 41-38. And that's over 66.5. James Madison at Arkansas State. Arkansas State's an 11.5 point underdog, and the over-under is set at 55.5.
59% of fans have James Madison, and through 4 games that they played, I think we can say that, you know, James Madison is for real. Their defense is still number 1 in the nation ranked, and they're still only allowing 1.5 yards per rush, which is crazy.
That's crazy.
Yeah, it's just insane. So, you know, going into Sun Belt play, you know, maybe we'll see something different, but I can't say it's going to happen here. I've got James Madison winning 35-20.
Yeah, well, Jim Madison, they've been one of the Cinderella stories this season. Obviously, the defense has been very good, and they're still undefeated. But I think this is kind of a trap game for them. Going to Arkansas State, who they just took care of ULM in that game. I think this is a close game. I do think James Madison pulls it off, though, maybe even in overtime. I've got it 27-24. That will be under.
Yeah, I'm kind of with Jackson on this one. I think it's a competitive game. I think James Madison kind of gets, you know, I don't think they get caught sleep or nothing. I just think that the competition is just going to kind of catch them off guard a little bit. I think Arkansas State's a good team. They're rebuilding kind of like Southern Miss is. So I think it's a close game overall until about the fourth quarter. I think James Madison's defense just locks down, gets the job done. James Madison gets a touchdown late in that fourth quarter to edge out 31-24.
Austin has James Madison winning 28-10. So he has them covering. I was very, 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 very close to picking Arkansas State to win this game. And the very reasons that all of y'all have said that, you know, James Madison might be a little trap game. They're coming off of the kind of a sloppy win last week and after the win against App State. So I think it's going to be really close. I almost picked James Madison to lose, but I kind of want to stay in first place. So I'm going to go James Madison 35-31. And that's over the 55.5. Appalachian State at Texas State. Probably can do a pretty quick pick right here. Texas State, 19-point underdogs, and the over-under is 55.5.
Yeah, 65% of fans have App State. App State is 3-2, but I think they're one of the best in the Sun Belt still. I got them winning 38-17.
Yeah, Texas State hasn't impressed me too much, but I do think they're able to hang in this game and make it a ball game. I've got App State winning, but albeit closer than the spread, 38-27. That's over.
Yeah, I think App State proves that they're just still one of the best teams. I think Texas State kind of falls off this week, in my opinion. So I got App State handling their business and covering 41-20.
Austin has Appalachian State winning 47-31. So that's actually Texas State covering there. I also agree with Charlie and Nathan. I think that App State's going to show why they're still in contention running for the East. And I have them winning 45-10, and that's over 55.5. Coastal Carolina at ULM. Both of these past games, App State at Texas State and Coastal Carolina at ULM, pretty similar, you know, as far as good team heading to weird team. ULM 13.5-point underdogs, the over-under's 58.
Yeah, so 86% of fans have Coastal Carolina. Obviously, Coastal's undefeated right now, but I think it might be more interesting. ULM, you know, I don't think any of us were expecting that performance last week, but I still see, you know, Coastal Carolina's got the experience here. I think they're going to win 34-24.
So that's a push on the 58. Or you want to stay that, or you want to add a point?
35-24.
Yeah, I think this one's going to be relatively close. I still got a double digit, but I think ULM hangs in there. I think Coastal's the better team. I still would pick them to win the Sun Belt East right now. I think Coastal wins 31-21 in ULM. That's okay. Under.
Me personally, I think Coastal comes out and just shows out. I think this is their coming out game. I think this is the game they prove that, hey, this puts the entire Sun Belt on notice, in my opinion. I really like their quarterback. We know he's been around for a while and his experience. So I got Coastal. I think they dominate. 38-17.
Austin also thinks they dominate. Coastal 49-24 for Austin there. I also think they dominate. I have Coastal Carolina coming in here and showing why they're the best team in the Sun Belt, and I have them winning 41-18, and that's over the 58. So those are our picks for Prince Pick'em, and that was our preview pod for Troy Southern Miss on Saturday night, ESPN Plus, 6 p.m. Jackson, Charlie, Austin, and I will all be there. Nathan is taking the beat and headed down to New Orleans to watch the Saints crap their pants.
Please, Seahawks. Please win. Please, God, win, Saints.
Watch Geno Smith ball out.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. I don't need to see Geno just cook my team up anymore.
I don't know. They wrote him off, but he ain't right back.
Oh, man. So that'll do it for this podcast. Thanks so much for listening, and thanks so much, John Johnson, for coming on and joining us in our preview pod. We missed Austin, but hopefully he'll be back next week. We will be there at Troy on Saturday night. So be looking for our coverage, be looking for our stories, we're looking for our pictures, looking for the post-game video, whatever. All the stuff that you normally see on a game day, we'll be looking for that. We'll see you there. So for Nathan, for Jackson, for Charlie, I'm Dima Mixon, and that was the 4th Street Sports Show.
3, 2, 1. This has been the 4th Street Sports Show. Tune in next Monday at 5.